Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, this is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited because I have a guest that I know is going to bring tremendous value. The purpose of the podcast is simple. I want to equip, encourage, and educate entrepreneurs. I have Walter Hill Jr. with me here today. He's the author of Think Red Flags, and he's going to share some great stuff. Sold his company 3 years ago and wants to pass on that knowledge. Walter, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you, Sean. It's good to be here with you.
I love that title, Think Red Flags. So, okay, tell me a little bit about the company that you sold. And, you know, just kind of your entrepreneurial journey.
The company that I sold was, the name of it was Icon Blue. It was a business of printing brands, corporate brands, brand marketing areas for corporate. And the name developed because of the services we provided. Icons are logos, they're brands. And the marketing of those brands. I was reading an article and we came up with the rest of the name, but I was reading an article once on a plane about the color blue. And it said that the color blue was the most prominent color used in advertising, and our business was advertising. So they said, you know, the sky is blue. Monet's favorite color was blue.
My company's blue. Our building is blue.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you see what it says. So that's why we said Icon Blue, creative applications of icons. So that was the business that I was in for the last 20 years. And before that, I was in the licensing business, combined licensing and brand merchandising.
And your father was an entrepreneur, if I'm correct.
My father was a small business entrepreneur, yeah, and very effective at it. He had three businesses, a service station. We had grew up in a small town in Virginia, 30,000 people. And he had a service station, a body and fender shop, and a fuel oil delivery business. So by 10 years old, the story goes, as my mom tells it, that my dad thought I wasn't assertive enough. And I was carrying the name Walter Hill Jr. And that would never do for him to have a son that was not assertive. So he had me come to work with him every day. So
that's the rich dad, you know, rich dad, poor dad. It's the entrepreneur who kind of owns a town, in that they own a few very strategic businesses. I had a friend, extraordinarily wealthy. He owned a hardware store. And you wouldn't think, this is like kind of like pre-Lowe's. And it was in a very expensive neighborhood, outside DC, where the customers come in, they don't want to look. They come in and say, I want to buy a grill. And somebody takes them by the hand. You know, and takes them through the three grills. Then they buy the grill. They take the grill to their house. They hook it up and cook the first steak for them. And so he had, you know, he owned the hardware store. He owned the shopping center where the hardware store was in. And then, of course, he owned the dry cleaners there. So you look at it on the outside and you go, oh, not very fancy. I've not met two people any more wealthier in person than this person. Yeah, but was that not sexy businesses?
Yeah, right.
Within his community, he owned the shopping center where his businesses were. He owned dry cleaning, he owned hardware, and it just kept.
Yeah. And a part of their wealth, Sean, comes from the services they provide to their community.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, my dad was a very, very prominent man in the town, you know, politically involved, socially involved. And as a matter of fact, when I released this book, when we on our release, they had in the small town newspaper my brother jokes now is more like a newsletter, a popular newsletter.
Yeah, you're right about newspapers have really lost their size.
Yeah,
they're gonna be like postcards soon.
Right. So he says they didn't have any other news, so they had headline: small town boy makes big in California. So they did full page coverage on the book Think Red Flags, But
I love the title. I kind of know, you know, it's a great title because it already gets my brain going. But yeah. Tell me why you wanted to write it. And, you know, what's the key, you know, give us a few takeaways. I always figure you can't give away too much. Anybody who likes what you say is going to buy the book. So tease us with why you came up with the title and give us a few takeaways from it.
Well, the title, the title came about because I wanted to be something that's relatable, that people can relate to. Think red flags is a very common term. We start learning red flags from childhood. We're taught that when we cross, come to a street corner, we stop, we look to the right, we look to the left, we pay attention to any traffic that's in, so that we can cross safely. Why? Because it's a danger point. It's a point in our lives that we need to exercise caution. Fast forwarding, what I learned from many of the lessons, and this is a sort of a training ground that everybody has. It's very, you know, very common. So red flags, everyone is familiar with that term. So I developed it because I was in a business, it was print business. And when we print promotional goods, US and overseas, you have to be very, very careful not to have colors wrong, logos out of place, everything had to be perfect, or corporations who invested millions in their brands would reject the merchandise.
And you eat it.
Yes, you eat it. So that created, those were red flags. And I started to use the term because it was commonly understood what I was talking about in my staff. And then everyone was taught how to recognize and how to think, because it's more of using your intuition. You know, you walk into a convenience store and it's 90 degrees outside. Someone is standing at the counter. A man has a long coat on, has his hand
exactly.
on the coat. He has a hoodie on and he's standing there whispering something to the clerk.
So red flag.
Red flag. Right away, your intuition says, I need to move to safety and leave, or you ignore the intuition and you go forward to the counter and you experience the danger. Same thing applies in business. Red flags are used to alert people to when they need to have caution.
I apologize, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Give me a few critical red flags over the years that you just see that's so common in business or startup entrepreneurs make. They don't see these, you know, obvious red flags.
You know, Sean, enthusiasm is something that is very important if you're launching a business. It's good to be enthusiasm and persistent in what it is. But if you're going to do that, you have to be very, very careful not to overlook certain basic fundamentals that so many people do. An example. There was a couple of young fellows that I can remember that were starting a business. They created a product that was supposed to help basketball players improve their shooting percentage. It was basically a rim without a net and without a backboard. Wow. So you practice shooting just through the rim, and it increases your accuracy. Make sense?
Yeah, because if you can make that, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So they have this.
But there's a part two of this. I already know it's coming. I can't wait to hear the rest of the story, because I banked everything off. I was a bricklayer.
So they enthusiastically, which they should have been, they went ahead with this business. And when they were advised to, you know, take certain measures and research, they were eager and they were busy thinking about how many they could sell to high schools and colleges and to the pros and all this, and how much revenue they were going to generate. And they simply overlooked the red flag. And there was one big, huge red flag that this is not a test, but you can probably guess what it was. They tried to go out to market with a product. They didn't validate that it did exactly what they said it did. Rather than take a sample products
go to universities or high schools, offer them the product for 6 months to a year or whatever.
So you have some data.
So that you have some data. It was simply the improvement was what they believed this product was going to present. Needless to say, it went nowhere.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it at my local Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah. And there are many other instances, not just with amateurs, but I won't go into the whole story, but that was a very wealthy, multi-billionaire status businessman that I was contracted to work with in the 80s. And he also, after investing $30 million in a product that actually never worked, never came to market, never worked, and had invested a lot of money in it. So validating a product, validating a service, if you believe that you're going to provide an online service or whatever that service might be, it is good to have some experience in it. And even if it's new, to test market it, to have some knowledge of what the end result is going to be, that you can actually deliver what you've promised a customer.
Oh, no, I so agree. And I tell people, you don't serve the soup until you've eaten the soup.
Exactly.
In other words, we want to serve the meal. And I always tell my staff, no, stop. And I joke about it. My son says, he kind of knows when he's going to do something for me. He goes, no, I'm going to wreck the car first, Dad. I'm going to wreck it to make sure that the airbags work, the seatbelt work. Because we've done things, platform, things. And then there was a breakdown. It's like, why didn't anybody catch that? And it's so true. You got to test. You got to beta test things to make sure, is there somebody who actually wants it? Can you deliver on it? Is somebody going to buy it for what you're selling it for? They do. You get so excited, and they don't do little incremental tests before they do this massive launch.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Give me another one.
Well, red flagging is, I'll tell you a brief story. My daughter, when she was 16 years old, I was giving her one of the dad talks. And she said, Dad, you talk to my sister and I all the time and you share things with us because you're trying to keep us from making mistakes. But we're growing up and we're going to have to make our own mistakes. And I said to her, sweetheart, I believe you're going to make mistakes. And I am not trying to keep you from making mistakes as your dad. I'm trying to keep you from making those mistakes from which you cannot recover. That's my job.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yes. So
there are some unrecoverables.
Yes. Yes.
There's no getting around that.
That same thing, Sean, applies in business. There are some mistakes you can make from which you can't recover. So this red flagging approach that I talk about is very targeted. It's the idea, there are some wonderful books written, some by yourself, that talk about generally and different things that you have to do to be successful in business. Think Red Flags is very targeted. It's targeted at learning how to use your intuition and your foresight to recognize issues that can cause your business serious harm and developing a plan to eliminate them or prevent them before they happen.
Oh, I like that. I like that word, unrecoverable. I actually just wrote that really big on my legal pad. Like, I haven't heard that word in a while, and it just hit me. Unreversible. You can't fix this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've experienced that happening to some businesses, unfortunately. A young woman, I'll give you another example. Over the years, you create all these stories because you have had the experiences with people, and just observing is how you actually get a lot of the knowledge not to let it happen to you. It's not about being critical of people's mistakes. It's how can you use those mistakes to share with other people and so that they know not to let that happen to them, because that's what red flagging is. It's about prevention. This particular young woman was in the promotions business, the same business as us, decided that she wanted to design products and sell those products to major chains, major, Home Depots and, yeah. and Walmart and people, yeah, companies
big,
like
big,
that.
The big ones, the big ones. Stores.
Okay, yeah. So she's a brilliant marketer and developed the ideas, managed to get the product on shelf, but had overlooked one major red flag. Those companies allow you to take space in their stores, technically. If the product doesn't sell, you have to take it back and give them credit back for the most part.
So you're basically renting that space.
You're basically yeah. renting the space from a lot of these companies. They don't take the losses. If your product doesn't sell, it comes back. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a small business person, that is not a game you can afford to play. If you're yeah, small a, business.
Yeah, that's like playing roulette.
Oh,
you're putting,
yeah.
You're putting all your chips on one of the colors.
And that was the oversight. And not having the right representative, rep staff yeah. that can go into the stores to make sure it's stocked, to make sure yeah. it's there, to make sure the appearance. Without having those two elements, those are major red flags. And as a result, she was able to sell in. But when the goods started to come back, it bankrupted her company. Yeah, those are mistakes. Those are the red flags. Those are the mistakes from which you cannot recover. And those are the things that I hope to help people avoid.
You're right. I've actually never read a book that went to the, you know, mistakes. They're costly. They're whatever. But these are the ones that you know, take the business out. These are the Mike Tyson knockout blows. You know, right. it's a whole different level. And you're right. I always tell people, failure in anything is better heard through a secondhand story, and it's a heck of a lot cheaper.
Yes.
You know, so I'm all out to, you know, listening. Oh, wow, I could learn that because I don't want to make that same mistake myself. I'm interviewing Walter Hill, entrepreneur, and he is the author of Think Red Flags. Walter, I want to thank you so much for being a guest, but I want to ask you one question before I let you go. What's your one piece of advice that you give aspiring entrepreneurs? Like, you're trapped in an elevator with a young lady or gentleman, and they're all excited. I'm starting this business. What's the one piece of advice you like to share?
I would always share that success is intentional. It doesn't just happen. I encourage anyone to do the research, read books about the subject, and execute with intentionality.
Taking more notes. Success is intentional. I got some good stuff. Walter, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Where can people find your books? I'll let you tell them.
Well, the book is easily found on Amazon. There's an electronic version of it, as well as a paperback version of it on Amazon. And
I tell everybody, you want to find my book, go to Amazon. That's it. Just go to Amazon. If you can't find it there, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, Think Red Flags, a proactive and profitable approach for your small business. That's the title.
I love it. Walter, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a good day.
I had Walter Hill on my show today. Go pick up his book, Think Red Flags. Again, this is Sean Castorina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, brought to you by Get Started Marketing. If you need help, more leads, more traffic, more sales, getstartedmarketing.com.